if you're telling me if Mostert's out, Wilson's out, who the hell's competing with him for carries? Who?
This is going to hurt your soul, I think.
Oh, Lord.
Would you rather have Javonte in the fifth or sixth or Sermon in the ninth?
Oh!
As you turn into Scooby-Doo.
It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, to dive into our running back positional preview is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, you ready to roll through these running backs, dude?
Yeah, it's gonna be a little different. I mean, we have so many running backs to talk about, and even though like we talk all the time about how there's this massive, massive drop off at the position, like there's still a ton of players here, and it's gonna be interesting to kind of break down who we have in which tier. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I don't think I'm going to talk about Zeke anymore. I think everybody knows how I feel about Ezekiel Elliott at this point.
There's so many running backs that we've been talking about for weeks, for months, all throughout the offseason. So people know where we stand on it. Some of them we mentioned in breakouts. So people need to go back and check out that episode with the fabulous John Daigle from NBC Sports Edge. But dude, diving into this, I mean, the running back position, there's so many different ways that you can approach this, diving into, and we're going to approach this from a tier perspective. So looking at where the shelves are, where you're evaluating running backs, how we're discussing that, I think it's really interesting because this position, and yes, we're going to go through the wide receiver position and things of that nature, and like where you're valuing some of these guys, and like, there's a lot of different ways to dice this up, man. Like, especially at this time of the offseason, some of this is, and we're going to discuss it, some of this is dependent upon like quarterback situations, how these depth charts are going to sift out right now. So kick us off here, Adam. You only got one guy in tier one. Who is it?
Yeah, it's Christian McCaffrey. I don't think, and if you want to put Dalvin Cook in this tier as well, totally get it. No issues with that. But I just think McCaffrey, obviously last year, limited season, but when he played, he was obviously great. I mean, he had 25 or more fantasy points in every full game he played last year, or close to full game. He's just, there's nobody really that can match his reception upside. You know, he's probably going to catch 90 to 100 balls. He has no competition for touches. I like the fit for Chuba Hubbard in this offense as a backup, but he's not taking meaningful work from Christian McCaffrey. I know they have, you know, three really good receivers as well, but like, this is the guy. He's the 101. I don't think anybody can really rival his upside. But again, if you want to put Dalvin Cook in this tier with him, I have no problem with it.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I sit, man. Dalvin Cook and CMC kind of sit alone. They're in their own tier. I put Dalvin Cook up here in the same tier as CMC because I think, and the FTN Slack channel was lit this morning, I think that Minnesota's, and we've talked about this, I think Minnesota's defense is going to have a bounce back. Now, where you want to talk about how good they're going to be is definitely up for debate. But considering that, I think that Dalvin, as long as he is healthy, is going to eat. So he falls in that top tier because we've seen him do CMC light-esque things as far as like be explosive in the passing game, garner a ton of volume, and have just massive, massive week-winning upside. So him and CMC are in a tier alone by themselves. For tier two, I mean, we've already kind of talked about Dalvin Cook. I see him in your tier two.
And I'm actually going to change this. I'm going to make a separate tier two and just put Dalvin in it by himself because I think he is better than Zeke and Kamara and, Henry. Just because like you break it all down, right? Zeke and Dalvin are close because they both had 22 carries from inside the five last year, second most or tied for the most in the league. And they both, when their offenses are healthy and everything, they're both going to catch, you know, 50 plus balls. But Dalvin, I think there's a little bit less question marks right now. You compare him with Derrick Henry, we know Derrick Henry is unmatched in terms of rushing, but Dalvin Cook's going to catch a lot more passes than him. He's going to run for more yards and get more carries than Kamara. And then you have the Barkley factor we'll talk about. So I'm putting Dalvin Cook in tier two by himself, and then we can move to tier three if you want.
Yeah, no, that's fine, man. I mean, and rolling through the rest of tier two. So you got Dalvin here in your tier two, Zeke, Derrick Henry, Kamara, and you have Barkley here. So I'm a little bit different. I mean, I already talked about Dalvin. I as well have Zeke, Kamara. My tier two is a little bit different, though. And some of this, I will honestly admit, like, I formulate my ranks, like, based off of, like, when people come to FTN Fantasy, you're checking out my rankings. If I'm above consensus on some of these players, I want you gravitating to them in drafts. I want you to see this and say, okay, man, like, I need to aggressively, because I am massively team get your guy. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't play around with ADP. I want to be above consensus
and
on
some of
these players.
And that's how you should be. That's 100% how you should be.
Well, and so with my tier two, that is why Jonathan Taylor and Cam Akers make this tier for me. You know, I understand that a lot of people are not going to agree with that, and that's totally fine, man. But I want to be above consensus on these two players because I legit think they have top three upside for fantasy this year, considering the rushing equity, considering the touchdown equity, considering the offenses that they're in. Like, the Rams are going to be near the top in all play volumes this year. We've seen that, like, what they have done over previous seasons, their offensive line is still good. They're going to be a top three, top five red zone rushing rate team. Like, so I want to be above consensus on Cam Akers, and I understand a lot of people are down on the Jonathan Taylor. I'm like, or not, I say down, but they're not as high as I am on him.
Yeah,
and
they're not, like, down on him. They're just not ready to put him in that clear, like, top five or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, and to better phrase
that. Which, to be
that.
Fair, that's how I am. So we'll talk about
it. No, and to better phrase it, like, I want to be above consensus on him because we saw what he can do last year down the stretch. Now, everybody can talk about the schedules and blah, 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 blah. You cannot take away from
that. I don't
care
about that.
No, I don't either.
Especially with Jonathan Taylor, like, going into next season, everybody's like, yeah, like, Marlon Mack's there, and yeah, the coaching staff, you know, saw what Jonathan Taylor did, but it was against. You think the coaching staff cares who it was against? When it's their franchise running back, you think they really look at it and go, well, he was incredible. He was like the best running back in the NFL the last 4 weeks of the season, but it was against Houston and who, like, they don't care. They don't give a shit. Like,
yeah, do you think the coaching staff is sitting here saying, well, I mean, those are really good games, but I mean, we could have put anybody back there. I mean, Jordan Wilkins could have ran for 150 versus that run. No, they're not saying that. They're praising and they're feeding the guy who's performing at an extremely high level. And we saw Jonathan Taylor down the stretch do that. I mean, the guy was a top five running back over the back half of the season after the light bulb came on. And you saw him, like, where he looked lost in certain games. Mm-hmm. Like, vision, how he was playing, he wasn't breaking tackles. And we're all sitting there saying, oh my lord, like, where's the guy that I saw run a 4.3? Like, where is that guy?
That was the huge thing for me watching him in the first half and the second half. The vision got immensely better. And then when you get that, you know, situated, and then you have the burst that he has, not to mention, again, the thing about Jonathan Taylor coming out of college at Wisconsin was, great running back, what is he going to be like in the passing game? Because that wasn't exactly a strength for him. Mm-hmm. He was legitimately one of the best pass-catching running backs in all of football last year, without question.
He was so good, dude. And the other thing about it is, like, you look at towards down the stretch, he was running more routes, or he ran more routes total than Nyheim Hines. Mm-hmm. Now, Nyheim Hines was still involved, but what they did with Nyheim Hines to keep him involved is that if you look at his snap percentages and the splits and where he was on the field, they put him in the slot, they put him outside. And if we get healthier pass catchers by the Colts, okay. I mean, so automatically people are saying, okay, well, Nyheim Hines means bad things for Jonathan Taylor. If Jonathan Taylor sits back there and still runs routes in the same clip that he was doing previously, but we have healthier wide receivers, like Paris Campbell's healthier, Michael Pittman's healthy for a full season. We get other pass catchers that step up, like T.Y. Hilton is back. Like, can we also say that in the range of outcomes, if Nyheim Hines doesn't get usage in the slot and outside, and Jonathan Taylor is the one running the routes out of the backfield, is Nyheim Hines the one that takes the hit in the passing game and it's not Jonathan Taylor? Is that possible, Adam?
It is possible, especially when you look at, like, just how like how good of a player Jonathan Taylor is as a whole. Like, I think Naheem Hines is a very good player too, but like at some point, like Taylor's clearly showed that he can be an every down running back. So for me, like, I have him personally in tier three alongside Austin Eckler, who is kind of like this, the same argument you made for Akers and Taylor. Like, that's one of my guys this year that I want to get. So I put him in tier three because I'm comfortable taking him over some of these other running backs. And then I think Nick Chubb is like so comparable to Jonathan Taylor. They're both the early down running backs in good offenses. Cleveland's definitely better and very good offensive lines. The Colts offensive line took a step back last year. Cleveland's is obviously the best in the league. So I actually moved Jonathan Taylor below Nick Chubb in my rankings the other day, but they're like back to back. I just think they're both going to catch an okay amount of passes, but I don't think they're going to be like, you know, I don't think they're going to be 50 catch guys. Chubb, we saw, you talk about this all the time, down the stretch, got a boost in receiving game work. I mean, the last four games, he was targeted 16 times. He was taking routes away from Kareem Hunt. He's going to be a candidate to lead the NFL in rushing. We know that. He's going to average at, you know, 4.5 to 5 yards per carry. I mean, maybe even more with how good he is as a pure runner. So I think they're very similar. Like, I don't think, and a lot of people probably view it this way, like Taylor is the RB 6 or 7 and Chubb like the RB 12. There should not be, in my opinion, that large of a gap between the two. So I do have him in the same tier along with Austin Eckler, who I've talked about it so much. I'm just all in on this Chargers offense because of how concentrated it's going to be. Anthony Lynn's gone, so hopefully they don't use multiple running backs. Eckler, there's always this belief that small running backs are not good goal line running backs. That is not the case. It really isn't. Austin Eckler is not a bad goal line running back. We know he's an elite receiver. He's going to catch 70 to 80 balls, especially with how concentrated this passing offense is. And when he was healthy, he was a top 10 running back last year. I have him as my RB8. So like I think he's going to see a career high in carries if he stays healthy relatively easily. He doesn't need 350 touches. He only needs, you know, 190 carries and 70 receptions, and he's going to be, you know, pushing top 7 running back status. So that's my tier 3, and I really struggled with moving like Cam Akers to tier 3, and I might do it actually after that. But then like I've been getting higher on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, so like the tiers 3 through like 5 and 6 are so interesting this year.
So all of these running backs that we kind of see, and I'm going to go through my tier 3 here in a second, but all these running backs that are kind of in this second round, like early to mid second round, are so damn interesting to me, because I feel like you're talking about the ceiling that some of these guys possess that we're going to get into here in a second is insane to me.
Like you mentioned, like, so I wouldn't be surprised if Akers was the RB1.
I won't be surprised either. I won't be surprised if he's top 2, top 3. Like, at all, man. So, looking at my tier 3, I have Chubb and Eckler also in there. I also snuck in two different guys into this tier. Now, one of them, I'm higher than you, and the other one, I am lower right now. And some of this is where we're at in the offseason. And again, we're liquid, dude. So, like, players are going to rise and fall in these rankings and these tiers all the way up to week one. But right now, people are going to sit here and obviously, like, hate on this as soon as they hear it. Because they're going to say, dear Lord, why do you have him all the way down here? And it's not because they hate the man. But I have Saquon Barkley at this spot. He is in my tier 3, and the reason he is in my tier 3
have
is
because dealing with Smalls, by the way. Enjoy that.
Oh, Lord. I know. She's going to be in my mentions as soon as listening to this. I get it. Or in my DMs. But the thing about it is, at this time of the offseason, we have heard reports that maybe the Giants limit him in the early part of the season. If that's the case, we're talking about, like, how much is that going to be, though? Like, but if he is like a 50% snap player, 60%, somewhere along those lines, and the offensive line is total crap, Adam, are we going to just say and like push all that to the side just for the sake of our chalk rankings? Are we just going to sit here and push all that to the side and say, well, I mean, Saquon Barkley, we have to rank him as a top 5 running back, right? Has to be top 6, has to be top 7, top 3. Like, we have to sit here and follow the consensus. No. Like, at this point of the offseason, and I'm hearing these reports come out, yes, I'm a little bit more tentative, and it has nothing to do with the man's talent. But if you're talking about, We're talking about over a 17-game stretch. If the Giants are saying, okay, we're going to limit him for the first 3 to 4 games, maybe that happens and comes to fruition. If that's the case, how do we not drop him a little bit in rankings, Adam? Like, how does that not affect his end-of-the-season finishes? How does it not, Adam? Tell me that, man, because people that are pushing back on me about, like, how do you not have him in the inside the top 5 or 6? And I'm like, if he's limited, we don't know what that means at this point in the offseason. And if he's limited that much or even more, hell, we don't know. How does he not fall to, like, 10, 11? Like, still in an RB1 range, but, like, not where you have him? How does that not happen, man?
I mean, yeah, I don't have him outside my top 10 or anything, but he hasn't been a top 5 running back for me. And I remember, like, there was, like, a lot of people, like, shocked that there was people in the industry that had Zeke over him. Like, what? Why would that be shocking? Even if Saquon was fully healthy and not, like, Zeke has done nothing
because
other than last year.
People are so married to their chalk rankings. It's like, okay, well, you got to have this guy in the top 5, this guy in the top 3. And it's like, no, guess what? You don't have to.
Like, you can't make a definitive case that Saquon Barkley should absolutely be ahead of Zeke, Henry, Kamara, Chubb. I'm not taking him out of my top 10, but I get it. And especially because you're super high on Cam Akers, so he's gonna you know, obviously propel forward into your rankings, and Barkley's gonna move down. But I get it. Like, I still believe in, when he's healthy, he's arguably the most talented running back in the NFL without question. But the question marks, especially when we're doing this podcast, you know, right now in the middle of June, when the only information we have is he's coming off the injury and there are talks of him being limited. Yeah, I mean, that's got to go into your thought process when you're putting these tiers together. So, yeah, I still have him. He's the end of tier 2 for me. So he's, you know, closer to, like, the top of tier 3 than the top of tier 2. But, like, would I be shocked if we got more news and more kind of clarification about him being limited and I moved guys like Eckler or Chubb or Taylor back above him? Not at all. Not even a little bit. So,
no, same, man. And so I talked about the player that I'm lower on. The other player that I got to get up in here that I'm higher on, and I see, like, he is in your tier 4, so I know that we're not that far apart on him, is Najee Harris. I think Najee Harris is going to eat. I don't care about the offensive line. I really, really don't. Because they're going to feed him targets. He is going to get a ton of work over the short and intermediate parts of the field, in the middle of the field, with Ben Roethlisberger. And he's going to have a lot of touchdown equity in this Pittsburgh offense, man. So if people are going to fade him based off of he's going to get a ton of volume, he's shown even at Alabama that he can handle that volume. He's got the size and the ability to be a workhorse bell cow back. I want to be over consensus on Najee Harris because I think he can absolutely crush in his rookie season,
and,
man.
And I love Najee too. This was more so I like the running backs ahead of him a little bit more. It's not that I don't like Najee. It's just I like some of these other running backs more. And what also helped is, like, I moved Clyde Edwards-Helaire up the past couple of days and stuff like that. And I think I'm actually going to move, and this is why we do this pod, man. Like, it's an exercise at the end of the day. I'm going to move Cam Akers to tier 3. So I'm going to have 4 running backs in tier 3. So Eckler, Chubb, Taylor, and Cam Akers round out my tier 3.
It's okay. I know eventually before we get to week 1, he'll be in tier 2. We'll be copacetic. I'm slowly whittling away at you, Adam. I know it. I'm coming for it, man.
I mean, we've talked about the Rams a lot, so it's definitely helping.
I mean, look, I was peeking over at FTN Fantasy this morning. Jeff Ratcliffe has his full projections that are live on the site, and if you have not seen these things, they are beautiful, man. I tweeted it out. There's a really interesting quarterback, and I'm not going to give away the name, that is 3rd amongst all of them in passing yards this year, and that name might surprise some people. So head over to FTN Fantasy today. Get signed up, man. Projections, rankings, all the things. Football is going to be back, and we are going to be able to cover all your needs regarding DFS, betting, and everything, man. But diving into tier 4 here, I've already talked about Cam Akers. This one is the one, and I mean, he fits in this build, okay? So I understand why you have him here, or you're moving him up to tier 3. But tier 4, these other running backs, there's a lot of ceiling here, dude. A lot of upside to be had here. You got Antonio Gibson, CEH, Aaron Jones, Najee is down here for you, and Joe Mixon. I mean, we're pretty much kind of lockstepping here. I mean, I've got Gibson, CEH, Aaron Jones, and Mixon in mine. I love Antonio Gibson and Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year. I think their ceilings are stupidly awesome. Like, when I'm talking about these early second-round running backs, that if you're doing best balls over on Underdog or you're doing multiple redraft leagues, you need to be varying your exposures to these guys right now because the ceilings are massive. Yes, I understand that Antonio Gibson, we are monitoring the toe and stuff like that. CEH's ceiling is stupidly awesome. Like, I am gobbling him up in all these Underdog drafts that I'm doing right now. So you need to get signed up with the promo code FTN. Meet us in these best ball streets right now. You get $25 free. Adam and I are going to be doing drafts. You get 5 drafts against us. Or come meet us for the Millie, man. 1 best ball mania shot out of that. What are your thoughts on these tier 4 guys, man? I know that we've talked off air about Antonio Gibson and CEH. What do you think about them, and what do you see as the ultimate ceiling for Joe Mixon?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put this tier. Just a lot of upside, right? Gibson, we saw how involved he was, especially at the goal line for Washington last year, and there's been talks about him having a larger role in the passing game, so that would be massive for him. And we know he obviously has a track record at Memphis of being an incredible pass catcher, so he would fit really well in that role. The offense should be better, and we talked about the pace with Scott Turner, so I like that. Clyde, I'm getting really, really high on. I just think he is the premier, like, post-type, not sleeper, just post-type breakout, right? The talent's there. We saw him run well last year. It's just he didn't convert the touchdowns, but all I care about is the opportunities he had. I think the offseason's going to help him, like I talked about, you know, get more comfortable in two-minute drills, get more comfortable in pass protection. Le'Veon Bell's not there, which he seemingly is thrilled about. I don't know what. He apparently doesn't like playing with Andy Reid.
Wasn't that such a funny tweet? It was like, I apologize, but I don't take anything back. It's like, right. you didn't apologize then. Like, what?
I think,
I miss here?
I think their offense will be fine. I don't think they're worried about it. But look, I think he's going to catch more passes this year. I think that was a surprise is how limited, not limited, but you know, we all thought he would catch more passes last year. He obviously dealt with injuries too, but if he's still the goal line back, you talked about the Chiefs under Andy Reid and just running backs under Andy Reid, how many touchdowns they score, and last year was kind of an anomaly for how little they scored. If that bounces back up a little bit, which it should, he's going to catch 60 balls, I would say. He's still in arguably the best offense in the NFL, so there's really nothing not to like about Clyde. And look, I'm not right about everything. I'm probably right about 20% of the stuff I talk about. But I didn't like taking Clyde in the first round last year when everybody was hype about it. I thought it was too high, and that's another reason why his season as a rookie was even more like disappointing, because he was a first-round pick in fantasy. He climbed up to the back end of the first round. He's going the third or fourth round now. Like, third round for Clyde.
Sanity.
It's hard not to like him there, so that all really plays a part of it too. And then, like, Aaron Jones, again, I'm doing this under the assumption that Aaron Rodgers, and it's not even an assumption, he's literally not in Green Bay right now. He's not there. If we get word tomorrow that Aaron Rodgers says, okay, I'm good, let's do this Green Bay, let's do this Packers, I'm ready to roll, I'm moving him into tier 3 at least, maybe even tier 2 with how good of a touchdown scorer he's been. If he's playing more in passing downs with Jamal Williams gone, he could be, you know, a top 3 running back. We know that. So Aaron Jones, we'll have to wait and see. But obviously I worry about the overall efficiency of the offense, the scoring opportunities, if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, which hurts Aaron Jones, who's been a huge touchdown scorer, but he's been getting that Alvin Kamara-like workload, right? It's not a bunch of 25-carry games. It's like 16 carries, 5 catches, and stuff like that, which is good, but he needs to score the touchdowns as well. And then Joe Mixon, like you said, we're getting like conflicting reports about Joe Mixon every other day now about his workload, or if he's going to be an every-down back, or if he's going to, like, I don't really care about that. All I care about is I don't think Chris Evans and Samaje Perine are taking significant work from Joe Mixon. I still have some concerns about the offensive line, but the offense should be better. The volume he got prior to his injury last year was massive. It's like 25 touches a game. And again, I don't even care about the Giovanni Bernard departure because he was playing more on passing downs when Gio was healthy anyway, so it really didn't do much for me. He belongs in this tier 4 for me. Pretty much based off volume alone, and the talent is still there as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about all these running backs and the massive ceilings they have. I mean, if you want to hear my entire speech about CEH, go check out our Bounce Back Players episode with Dave Richard from CBS. I went through all of the things and the stuff on CEH in that episode, man. Hopping into Tier 5, you got J.K. Dobbins, you have DeAndre Swift, I'm a little bit lower on him, and Chris Carson in your Tier 5. In mine, I snuck in two different players that I see you've got in Tier 6, and another one you've got a little bit lower on, which I got to get your take here, man. Like, I have got Chris Carson, Miles Sanders, J.K. Dobbins are in mine. I snuck Myles Gaskin up in here, man. Like, tell me who's coming for the volume. Like, if he's healthy,
I'll tell you who's coming for the volume.
Oh, Jared, are you going to use... You're using this against me!
Yep. You walked right into that one, pal. I should probably move Myles Gaskin up to Tier 6, to be honest. The reason I have... And look, we've talked about it. I haven't really been high on Swift for a while now, and I'm still not. The reason I have been Tier 5 still above Sanders, Montgomery, and Jacobs, who I have in Tier 6, I just think at the end of the day, he has more upside than those guys. I think despite being in a bad offense, he's going to catch a ton of passes. That Lions offensive line is quietly like a top 6 or 7 unit in the league. And like we know Josh Jacobs, that ceiling is pretty low considering he's not going to catch passes. And if Kenny and Drake steals goal line work from him, which is all like Josh Jacobs was so inefficient last year, he got there off volume alone. If that volume
has for the
away,
last 2 years, man. Right, for the last 2 years.
If that volume goes away, he's screwed. Swift, I understand Jamal Williams is there, who I love. Like this isn't me like saying I love DeAndre Swift. It's more so I just think he still has more ceiling than some of the guys in Tier 6 and Tier 7. So I'll keep him there. Dobbins, I have concerns about as well, but he belongs in Tier 5 at least. He's down the stretch. He was, and Jeff Ratcliffe talked about this when the FTN Network Twitter account tweeted that stat comparing Edwards and Dobbins, and he talked about how down the stretch Dobbins was converting everything from in close and Edwards wasn't. So if they go into that from last year into this year with Dobbins as the goal line back, and look, I tweeted about this, Lamar Jackson is not Kyler Murray or Josh Allen in terms of goal line rushes. He had one carry from inside the five last year. He had one. So he doesn't, like, he's going to break a lot of long touchdown runs because he's an absolute superstar. But he doesn't take touchdowns from in close like Josh Allen and Kyler Murray do. And the last 2 years, he has 6 total carries from inside the five. So one last year, 5 the year before. So Dobbins, we talked about it. The path to him having a huge season in fantasy is scoring 15 touchdowns. I mean, Mark Ingram scored 15, 5 receiving, which was a little fluky, 2 years ago, and he was an elite running back in fantasy. I don't think anybody's denying that J.K. Dobbins is better than Mark Ingram. So, as much as I love Gus Edwards, Dobbins is obviously still the better player, in my opinion. And I think it's more of a 1A, 1B. But I do think Dobbins going into the season is the 1A in the most unstoppable rushing attack in the NFL. And then Chris Carson, the most underrated running back in football. I love Chris Carson. Seattle, still going to run the football. I'm not worried about Rashad Penny. Carson was good when healthy last year. He's not as injured as 90% of the community thinks he is. Probably just a little bit undervalued still in drafts where he's coming off the board around like RB20. He should be higher than that. So I have him in Tier 5 as well. And he's not he was good as a pass catcher last year. I think he had like 4 receiving touchdowns. Just one of my favorite running backs in the NFL, Chris Carson, rounding out Tier 5 for me.
Yeah, I mean, I like Carson. I think like the problem that I have with Carson, and at least the way that I'm approaching drafts right now, is he's in a sweet spot around a lot of really, really damn good wide receivers. And that's the only problem that I'm having.
It's the same I have with everybody in this tier. Like, that's why, it's not that I just don't love DeAndre Swift this year. I don't want to draft him over the receivers that are coming off the board in round 3.
Can't.
I can't do it. Like, that's Terry McLaurin territory. That's Amari. That's CeeDee Lamb. That's Keenan Allen. Like,
That's even like Allen Robinson, Michael Thomas
is a third round pick.
Keenan Allen. Like, no.
There's no chance I'm taking any of these running backs, not just DeAndre Swift, any of these running backs over Keenan Allen, who we'll talk about in the receiver tier, receiver preview, Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, probably both the Dallas receivers, Amari, Terry McLaurin. Like, That's why it's tough for me to get a lot of, especially on underdog, like building rosters with Dobbins and Swift. I just don't like them as much because, especially in 3 wide receivers and underdog, like I like to have one of those receivers because that's the sweet spot, like you said.
I mean, and that's kind of like where you go from, okay, are we going to go running backs early, and where's the, like, the big, like, I don't know, like, the big tier break as far as, like, where does it become a Grand Canyon, and, like, okay, where do the wide receivers kind of take over, I mean, where we're looking at them and we're slotting them into the queue before we even contemplate running backs. And I think going from tier four to tier five is kind of where it's at for me, man. Like I love J.K. Dobbins, but again, there's multiple questions. Like him and Miles Sanders, we've talked all offseason. For me, they're the same guy, different team, different aspects. I mean, if you want to sit here and say, okay, there's more worries about Miles Sanders because of what's coming out of Philly and we don't see a feature guy. If you're ever looking at Miles Sanders as being a feature guy, considering like, everything out of there, then you are viewing the situation wrong.
I would say
that's
the only difference. Everything we hear in Baltimore is we want to get J.K. Dobbins and the running backs more involved in the passing game. That's not happening, by the way. That's just not happening.
No. It's a bad narrative, dude. It's bad. Like, rushing quarterbacks and dump-offs to the running back, those things just don't correlate. They don't. Like, at all.
Yeah. So, that's the only difference between the two is that at least Dobbins were getting, you know, outside of the Gus Edwards hype, which I am obviously a very, very big fan of. You know, there's been pretty much all positives around J.K. Dobbins, where Miles Sanders, we got the report that they don't love the idea of an every down running back. And of course, they bring in Kerryon Johnson, they bring back Jordan Howard, and they draft Kenny Gainwell. So it's like, but in terms of like their roles, I do agree, like they are similar. And that's why I just think Dobbins has a higher ceiling. So I have him in tier five, then Miles Sanders in tier six.
So I don't want to gloss this over while we hop into tier six here. The reason that DeAndre Swift is lower in mine, I understand the ceiling argument. My problem with it is that we know this offense is still not going to be good. So you're looking at his touchdown equity is going to be capped. Even if he takes all of it, this is not going to be a high flying offense. This is not going to be a team that is going to be in the red zone just all the time and living there. So DeAndre Swift, even if we're talking about him, people are like, okay, what about the checkdowns? I get the checkdowns. I understand that. Like that I understand, like his receptions and what that can happen, or what we could see for this season could be good. But the other thing about it is Jamal Williams is not a scrub in the passing game. And I understand people just want to look at him and say he's a scrub all over. So, like, whatever. But he's
whoever
not.
Whoever says
he's
that
not.
Needs to grow up. Because Jamal Williams is a saint.
I'm not going there. But I will say that he's better in the passing game than people are giving him credit for. He can eat into those targets, those routes for DeAndre Swift. And look, you brought it up very, very quickly. But I want to go back to this for a second. Anthony Lynn being there, if he views him as Austin Ekeler, and we're talking about like some of the concerns that like we've had with the Austin Ekeler, okay, is usage and saying, okay, well, just because he's small doesn't mean that he can't be a goal line back. But we're talking about like DeAndre Swift is not a massive, monstrous back like in size. And I'm not saying he's tiny, but he's very comparable as Austin Ekeler. And if you're looking at this, like, does Anthony Lynn have a long history of feeding targets to the running back? Yes. He also went away from Austin Ekeler at the goal line. Joshua Kelly and Kalen freaking Ballage got more red zone carries inside the five than he did. So we're looking at this. If you're talking about DeAndre Swift is the Austin Ekeler of this offense, that's great. But we're also talking about an offense that's not going to be good. His touchdown equity is going to be capped. And then you're talking about, okay, well, if he's not the goal line back and that's the role that he's performing in, then maybe we should have more worries than we're talking about with DeAndre Swift. And I'm not even mentioning the fact of, like, Jamal Williams sitting around there. The fact that they talked about bringing in other running backs. But, I mean, I know you have Swift higher, man. But, I mean, am I insane for saying that, like, okay, if Anthony Lynn is going to view DeAndre Swift as possibly the Austin Ekeler in this offense, then maybe we need to sit here and lower our ceiling expectations for him?
No, I don't think you're crazy at all, because I've expressed many concerns with DeAndre Swift. So, again, the reason I have him in tier five still is I just think there is still a bit of a higher ceiling over the guys that I have in tier six. It's really what it comes down to.
No, and I understand that. And just to bring this up, because I don't think that people really understand this, DeAndre Swift is 5'8", 212, okay? And you're looking at comparables here. I mean, looking at him versus Austin Eckler, Adam, let's just stare at this. 5'9", 200. There's not a whole lot of difference there. I understand there's a little bit, but not a ton, dude. So I really worry about his touchdown equity in the offense moving forward. So in my tier six, I'm pretty much lockstep with you on a lot of these guys. Like, I've got David Montgomery, who you also have. I have got Mike Davis in here and DeAndre Swift. I see you got Josh Jacobs in your tier six. Tell me your thoughts on him, man. Like, I know you brought him up real quickly, but, like, I have a hard time even ranking him this high. Like,
I just think I do. I just think to start, he's getting the carries. I think he's going to get 250 carries when it's all said and done. But like I said, if Kenyon Drake takes goal line work away from him, he's done. He's absolutely done because he has like 50 receptions through two seasons. He's never been inside the top 20 among running backs in routes run. And they talked about the reason they brought in Kenyon Drake is for pass catching abilities. So Jacobs was like among the league leaders in goal line carries last season. Again, volume got him there last year. Right now, I still expect him to get the carries at least. But if that changes, like I said, he could finish closer where you have him in a lower tier. Montgomery, I think a lot of people might have him higher. I just worry that they had no backups, no running back depth last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Montgomery, similar to Jonathan Taylor, down the stretch was incredible. He was a top five running back. Again, he had some bad defenses. I don't care. He looked better as well if you just watched him. But I think, I mean, he was second among all running backs in routes run after Tariq Cohen went down. So that was a huge part of his game that helped. Cohen's going to be back. I don't think he's going to be like heavily involved, but they're not going to not play Tariq Cohen, especially on passing downs. Maybe Justin Fields inside the 5-yard line takes some touchdowns away, which is an element they haven't had because we talked about how Trubisky had stopped running. So that could hurt David Montgomery. Could also help him in the running game. But I just think he's not going to finish anywhere close to how he finished the year last year. And I worry about the fact that not only Tariq Cohen's back, but they draft Khalil Herbert. They bring in Damien Williams. Like, they have depth at running back. Now, last year, that was not even a discussion. They had no depth at all at the running back position. So and then Miles Sanders, who we talked about, I have in tier six as well. I am going to move Mike Davis and Gaskin into tier six as well. They belong here. As it stands right now, they're getting 17 touches a game. Gaskin, we talked about Miami wanting to use one running back all last season. I don't expect that to change with Brian Flores still there. And again, I know you like Jared Doakes. I was mostly kidding, but they didn't bring in anybody. I know they could have brought in Javonte Williams if they if he was there for them. I think they tried to bring in Kerryon Johnson, but the Eagles were able to get him. Bringing in Kerryon wasn't going to hurt Myles Gaskin, I don't think. So I'm moving 100% moving Mike Davis and Myles Gaskin into tier six. So my tier six ends up being Sanders, Montgomery, Jacobs, Davis, and Myles Gaskin.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like Gaskin right now. I think that, like, and we're early in the process and things of that nature. Like, do I love Jared Doakes? Yes, I love that man. I think
I drafted him
in
my
last
round of my rookie draft. So.
Things
and,
that
and I drafted Hunter Long the round before that.
They put it in the basket. Things that you love to see. Absolutely love it, man. So with tier seven and stuff like that, getting into some of these running backs when we're in the back ends of like RB2, like in that 24 to 28 range and stuff, looking at all these different guys, I mean, like Kareem Hunt, Javonte Williams, Travis Etienne, other guys. I mean, let's just put a bow on this, Adam, to kind of close out this episode. Like, tell me some guys that, like, that whether they're in your tier seven or you have them a little bit lower, that you think could be top 20, top 24 running backs when it's all said and done. Give me like a little four-pack of players here.
It's pretty easy. Javonte Williams is obviously the guy. I almost put him in tier six, but obviously with Melvin Gordon there, it's hard to make the case right out the gate that he should be drafted ahead or with Sanders, Montgomery, or Jacobs. But you obviously love the talent. We talked, Denver's defense is good, man. Like, their defense is really good, and it was good last year to a point, and they just got everybody back and added pieces, right? You add Fuller, you add Surtain, you add you get your D-line back. Like, they're going to be, if healthy, a top 5 to 7 unit, and they're going to want to rely on the run because their quarterback play is abysmal. So Javonte Williams, like, he's going to get probably 10 to 13 touches per game out of the gate. I remember when Phillip Lindsay was healthy last year, Melvin Gordon only averaged like 12 carries a game. So they want to use multiple running backs. That's why they drafted Javonte Williams, who, again, was in a backfield by committee at North Carolina. And there's obviously a situation and a path that you can see to where he just outperforms Melvin Gordon, and by week 9 or 10, he's getting 18 to 20 touches a game, and he's going to be really good. So he could easily finish as not just a top 20 back, a top 15 back, top 12 back. Travis Etienne as well, just because they love him, obviously, the first-round draft capital on him, reunited with Trevor Lawrence. They're going to use him in multiple ways. Another player where it's like, I love James Robinson, but, I mean, look, you're lying to yourself if you think Etienne's not more talented than James Robinson. And, again, we talk about these rookie running backs in their rookie year. By week 10 or 11, they start to really get a grasp on things, and they just kind of explode. And Etienne fits in that bill as well. Kareem Hunt, like, I'm not really on Kareem Hunt. I tweeted, like, why would you draft Kareem Hunt in the fifth when you can get Gus Edwards in the ninth? And I had a lot of people said, because Kareem Hunt catches passes. And yeah, he does. But, like, he wasn't that good when Nick Chubb was out last year. He really wasn't. That's not to say he can't be if Nick Chubb were to miss time again. It's a bad way to look at it. This is still the best offensive line in football. But, like, I don't think, like, you know he's not going to be a top 15 running back if Nick Chubb's healthy. That's just not going to happen. And then my tier 8 guys, like Chase Edmonds, I talked about. I have no interest in Chase Edmonds this year. James Conner maybe could get in that top 15 or 20 just because if he has the Kenyon Drake role, which Kenyon Drake, third most carries from inside the 5-yard line last year, scored a lot of touchdowns, and yes, that coincided with Kyler Murray's shoulder injury, but the opportunity should be there. And then you have Melvin Gordon, James Robinson, the San Francisco running backs, the Tampa Bay running backs, and my guy Gus Edwards. Those are all in that tier 8 for me. If you told me that Leonard Fournette or Ronald Jones wouldn't play this year, I think the other one would easily have a shot. But right now, it's just that tier 8 is running backs that are in, you know, committees, or they are pass catching running backs, and we don't know if they're going to have a huge workload. So Javonte, though, I'm pretty sure you agree, would be the guy if I had to choose one.
Dude, I mean, come on. I've said it on previous podcasts. I'm still going to talk about it, man. We discussed this in our mock drafts with both Mike Wright, Marcus Grant. Like, people need to understand this. I understand, like, look, I've been here. We've been here, okay? This is not brand new news on this podcast. But Javonte Williams is the type of draft pick. You go after Javonte Williams, and he could be a damn league winner this year, man. Like, people are like, I don't want to spend a 6-round pick on Javonte Williams. And I'm like, why do you not? Like, yes, do I like a lot of the wide receivers going in that range? Yes, I do. But Javonte Williams, legit, the Broncos have showed us all offseason. They want to run the ball, man. They want to run the ball.
Did they show us all offseason that they want to run the ball or that they can't throw the ball? I think it's both. I was about to say, I definitely think it's both.
Yeah, it's both. It's both. Yeah, both is good. But, dude, seriously, if Denver's defense is that good, they're in neutral and positive game scripts even more. This is a team that was top 6 in rushing rates in both neutral and positive game scripts last year. They're going to lean into the run. If anything happens to Melvin Gordon, and you're taking Javonte Williams right now, who's going in like the 6th round of underdog best ball drafts, he's getting exposure.
Climb a little bit towards the beginning of the 5th, but still, even the 5th round. Like,
still, even there, like, you're getting a guy that legit, if Melvin Gordon gets hurt, cut, whatever. I'm not saying those are the definitives. But if that happens, you are getting a guy that, like, if Melvin Gordon goes out there and twists his ankle and misses a few weeks. Hell, if he misses half a season, whatever. However you want to play this scenario out. If Melvin Gordon is not part of this backfield for any stretch of time, Javonte Williams, one, his ADP before the season is going to go skyrocketing up. Okay, so you're getting him in a value. Right now, Melvin Gordon being there right now, and his name in the same sentence or breath as Javonte Williams, it's what's pushing him down. And you're going to get a guy that legit could be an RB1, top 12 back on a weekly basis, on a team that wants to run the damn ball. Mm-hmm. So I love Javonte Williams this year, man. Like, diving into a few guys that, like, stick out to me that could make it into that top 20 range, if all the stars align, I think, obviously, Javonte Williams, Travis Etienne, you talked about. The one that I'm going to bring up here, and I understand people are sick of me talking about his name. He's currently going ahead.
I'll be back.
Yeah. You can just sit down, get yourself a little...
Just text me when you're done. I can't,
Trey Sermon could be there,
I can't
man.
Say anything. I bring up Marvin Jones on every podcast, even if we're talking about tight ends or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Dude, Trey Sermon could finish there this year. And people are like, well, yeah, but I mean, he's going ahead of Raheem Mostert. Like, people are out in front of their skis. And I'm like, he's going at RB 28 and Mostert's 29. Like, I mean, what are you talking about? Like, oh, we're just totally slandering Raheem Mostert's name? No, he's going one spot ahead of him. And right now, do we know that Raheem Mostert can hold up for longer than like 6 to 7 games in a season? Right now, in training camp, he's hurt.
I was going
to
say, Sermon's been getting the first team reps already.
Yes.
Because Jeff Wilson's not there and Mostert's hurt.
Yes. Like, tell me why I shouldn't be drafting him as an RB3. He's going in the 70s right now. Like, that's not an egregious ADP. It's not insane.
If
you're telling
me
if Mostert's out, Wilson's out, who the hell's competing with him for carries? Who?
This is going to hurt your soul, I think.
Oh, Lord.
Would you rather have Javonte in the 5th or 6th or Sermon in the 9th?
Oh! Oh! Oh!
As you turn into Scooby-Doo.
Well, I mean, the real paradigm here is if you're looking at underdog ADP right now, it's really Javonte in the 5th or Sermon in the 7th right now.
Okay.
That's kind of where you're staring at. And I'm like, yeah,
ninth was a little much. I don't think he's
I mean, can I say
ninth.
Both? Can I still say both?
you can. You definitely can.
If you're going anchor RB or you have one of those top 3 picks and it's like, okay, I'm going to grab one and then I'm not touching the position until like the 5th, 6th round or something like that, you could be aggressive and get both of them, man. Like, I don't think that's insane because you're talking about, okay, if Javonte is a little bit capped out, you know, to begin the season, but if Sermon starts off being the guy, we could see them even being flipped and being a great, great pairing in best ball. Like, if that happens, Adam, like, Javonte could be your stretch run league winner if anything happens, or he just takes the damn backfield away from Melvin Gordon, as opposed to, okay, well, Sermon starts off being the guy. Okay, well, maybe Mostert gets healthy. Maybe he caps a little bit of his upside down the stretch. Maybe Jeff Wilson comes back, does the same thing. We're talking this all out. That could be a fantastic 1-2 punch in best ball right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's so much upside with both those players. Before we get out of here, two running backs that I think a lot of listeners might have been waiting for us to mention. Michael Carter. Okay.
Yes.
And Damian Harris. Damian Harris, I just don't know what the ceiling is for him. If Cam Newton's under center, he's going to score rushing touchdowns. He was 4th among all players in carries from inside the 5 last year. And Damian Harris is not catching passes. But if Mac Jones is quarterback, that changes things because this offensive line is still incredible. Damian Harris was top 5 in yards before contact per attempt last year. He was efficient. I think Sonny Michel is going to get cut, so I think he's going to be the clear early down running back, and the Patriots want to run the football still, especially in close. But again, like, he's not going to catch more than, like, I don't even know if he's going to catch 15 passes, to be honest with you. So that hurts the ceiling. And then Michael Carter, I don't know what the hell the Jets are going to do, man.
I mean, look, okay, I was going to bring up Carter's name a little bit earlier. I like Michael Carter where he's going because the ADP was skyrocketing, dude, and now it's kind of leveled off. If anything, he's falling in some best ball drafts right now. Like, where his ADP is, he's in the 80s. I've actually drafted him in the 90-ish range. Like, he's falling a good 5-6 picks based off of where his ADP is right now. I'm willing to still be in on Michael Carter. I understand the Jets can run a committee. If you head over to FTN Fantasy, I have still got an article up there talking about if it's not Michael Carter, then who? Who? For the Jets. Their backfield is extremely interesting, but diving through all of that, their offensive line is quietly set up to be really, 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 really good at zone blocking, dude. Like, if you look at all the different metrics, and I think they're going to run the ball a ton this year. So I'm still in on Michael Carter where he's going. I think he could end up as a top 24 running back. I think that's definitively a possibility for this season. So where he's going in drafts, count me as still being in. Damian Harris, I don't get it, man. I don't. Like, I don't understand, and I put it... I put out a tweet making fun of the truthers today, but like,
I saw that.
I don't get it, man. Like, I really don't. Like, does anybody look at what Damian Harris did last year? Like, in all these like 90 plus yard games, and he had no freaking touchdowns. He goes for 100 yards and he goes for a score. Like, Cam Newton's still going to have a big, big role in the red zone and at the goal line. And even if you want to talk about Mac Jones, man, like, that doesn't mean that Damian Harris is magically going to start catching freaking passes. He's not. He's not. Even during that stretch run, the dude didn't even get 10 targets. So you're literally hoping that he becomes, like, the poor man's version of Derrick Henry? Like, and I mean, like, the really, really poor man's version. Like, eating off the dollar menu at a local restaurant that you never want to go back to? No. Like, I don't understand where anybody that's looking at Damian Harris, where they're seeing this supposed path for ceiling. Like, Damian Harris, when he's on the field, we know what he's going to do. He's going to run the ball. But where are the touchdowns coming from? And where are you hoping that he gets he gets targets and catches any passes? That's not going to happen, man. And I'm still going to sit here and talk about it. The name that people are going to sit here and be sick of, especially if you were all in on the Damian Harris hype train previously and you're punching your ticket for 2021, the name you're going to get tired of hearing before the middle of the season is Ramondre Stevenson. Just going to mention that here. You're going to get sick of it, and you're going to wish that you never drafted Damian Harris or bought back into the hype train, man. So I'm out. Never was in. Don't get it. Don't understand it. Love the offensive line, but I can't go Damian Harris where he's going in drafts, man. All right, everyone, that is the running back positional preview. Again, Adam and I are going to be back talking more of these positional previews, getting you ready for week one. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.